The gods came down from on high, but they weren't the old gods. They were the new gods, and they put in their podcasts, and they listened to them, and they were really cool, because podcasts are new media, and that is cool. I'm Alex.
When gods come to Earth, they ask their subjects, do you worship me or do you worship a car? And some of them will face the great shame of worshiping a car. Bright Pete LePage. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you're listening to American Godcast, a podcast about American gods. We're going to be talking about the third episode of season two, Moonin. Is that what we're going with? Not Munin?
It's definitely not Munin.
Yeah, because I'm having fun in with Munin.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
But
more Munin, and more problems, as we always say.
Oh, even that's we always say that?
We always do. I think that's one of the Ravens.
Yeah, it's one of the Ravens. I just never know how to pronounce his name. Huggin and Munin? Huggin and Moonin?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Huggin and Munin? So you're a Greek mythologer. You're like, let's call him Huggin and Munin.
Well, it's North of mythology, first of all.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah, so it's fine. So you can pronounce it. This is the thing that a lot of people don't know about Norway, is they pronounce things whatever way they want.
Exactly. They're a cavalier people.
They are. That's what all the Vikings were about. So let's talk about this episode. Let's get into it. Give you guys a recap of where we've gotten so far. There's a guy named Shadow Moon. He started life as a bit of a con, ended up getting arrested for that. He got out of jail, but too late for his wife, Laura Moon, who died. But luckily, she came back thanks to a lucky coin provided by a leprechaun named Mad Sweeney. Mad Sweeney, the leprechaun, has lost his luck because his coin is stuck inside of Laura's stomach. Meanwhile, at the same kind of time, Shadow Moon hooked up with a guy named Mr. Wednesday, who turns out to be Odin. Odin is the leader of the old gods in a war between the old gods and the new gods. The new gods, led by Mr. World, seconded by the technical boy, and used to be working with Lady Dane Media, played by Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson didn't want to come back for season two, so this episode, we finally get to see new media, everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I was like, I get it.
Yeah, I was like,
Instagram,
like
K-pop. Oh yeah, so
I was
popular.
Like favorite.
Yeah, retweet.
So anyway, we'll get into that, I'm sure, and talk about that a little bit later. What else do you need to know? There's a guy named Salim who is in love with a genie, and they've been biking around all over the place and doing random other things. That's pretty much all
you are forgetting the most important character.
Here we go. Okay, yeah, a car died last episode.
No, not just any car, Betty. A sweet, sweet Cadillac.
Right. So what happened the last episode, Shadow Moon had been captured by Mr. Town, who, as we all know from the insurance commercials and from his appearance on 30 Rock and absolutely nothing else, despite what people tell us online and get angry about when they listen to the podcast.
Can we catch some heat from that?
Just a little bit of heat, just ever so slightly, because people are like, he's been in this thing and this thing and this thing. And I was like, I think just the insurance commercials.
He's mayhem.
Yeah.
Don't get up in our face. He is mayhem.
He's Liz Lemon's bad boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's what we know.
Wow.
Anyway, he doesn't show up this episode, but Shadow was captured. Black Betty, the car, was sacrificed by Odin in order to save Shadow Moon and knock over the train.
Come on, Black Betty.
Mad Sweeney and Laura were inside trying to rescue Shadow on their own. And as we pick up, we have, I want to say, approximately 15 minutes of Requiem for the Car. Is that what happened?
Something like that? Could have been longer.
It was longer. Like sitting through Sunday school.
Oh, my God.
What are you both talking about? It was the best part of the goddamn episode. Please focus on the Cadillac.
I cannot believe they opened with that. I can't believe they opened with
that. It was glorious.
It's been so much time.
I was on the edge of my seat. It was so cool to see the flames kind of turn into a horse, but then back into a Cadillac and a trippy montage for the ages.
It's just so
that
crazy.
That should be a commercial you see on television.
Buy Cadillacs. Buy old Cadillacs from gods. No, because we made fun of Pete last episode for focusing so hard on that car. Yeah. And then the show almost heard Pete. A raven was perched at the window being like, that guy knows what he's talking about. Raven's very stupid, obviously.
What?
They were like, let's make the show about the car. Let's do an intro that features the car.
The whole beginning beginning of the show about was about the car, and then the whole thrust of Laura's storyline was how bad she was. And again, I feel like Pete wrote this episode, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Because we've been pretty up on Laura, right, Justin?
Yeah, love Laura.
Pete's been pretty down on Laura, mm-hmm. right, Pete?
That's right.
There you go.
Because she cheated on her husband. Like some kind of asshole.
Sure, and most of her plotline this episode was tagging along with Mr. Wednesday and finding out that ultimately, at least according to him, she doesn't care about Shadow Moon as much as she cares about herself.
Right, and that she is the different person. I really love these scenes in this episode. Wednesday and Laura.
Wait, are we not going to talk? We got to talk about the car a little bit more before.
No, we don't.
Definitely,
no,
we do.
Come on, guys.
The car is not. That's the only time the car is in the episode with this fucking 10-minute requiem.
It's fantastic every time they're rolling in that car.
Are you a car guy? Are you a gearhead?
I'm not a gearhead, but I. That car
you
is
You live
fantastic.
In New York. You don't are never around cars.
I know. That's why it's so
also,
great.
Also, the other thing is the car was fine. Like, they went through this whole thing, and they're like, well, here we are.
It
back
came
in the
back
car.
To life. We got to see the, you know, death and rebirth. It
you know
was
what
really
I feel
powerful.
Bad for? The train. Oh. Train gets no respect.
Man.
Helped populate America, you know, mm-hmm. and the train just gets wrecked, doesn't get to come back to life, doesn't get a special sequence for it. It's just broken.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I'm
gonna reach out to New Media and try to get hashtag train going.
Yeah, probably have to call on some drops of Jupiter or something
good.
Like that.
It's
right?
good. I mean, yeah. Can't believe it took you that long to come up with that. Honestly, I was like, oh, I said the word train. Alex is gonna say either Meet Virginia, which would have been fun, or drops of Jupiter, and it took a. It was like watching an old Cadillac find the gear.
I gotta be honest, that's what it felt like, because in my head I was like, oh, train joke. Okay, wait, you can't just say train. That doesn't make any sense.
Let me go back into the card catalog and find train joke. Blows the dust off, drops of Jupiter. I understand. I was walking today with my daughter, and she was like, what's that? Pointing to a fire hydrant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fire extinguisher. And I was like,
what?
And then she was like, what? And I was like, I don't know what it is.
Oh my God, I couldn't
think of fire hydrant. It was crazy for a while.
You had dad brain? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know when something gets in your brain, you're like, that's wrong. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
You know it's wrong, but you're looking at it. Same thing with train.
Yeah,
there we go.
Anyway,
so the train breaks. Matt Sweeney throws Laura in the trunk of the car. She's pretty pissed at him.
Sweet, sweet Cadillac.
They drive over to Mr. Jacques's.
Yeah.
Mortuary, where he proceeds to sew Laura back together.
As he's eating her.
Right, he takes a little bite out of her. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Matt Sweeney's always in a bad mood.
Yes.
Is it just about the luck?
Because,
you know, you'd think if he had his coin, would he be like, jolly?
He would be super happy.
I don't think so.
He's just a jerk.
Yeah, he's just a jerk. And the thing we talked about the last episode, which I still think is fair, is I think he has feelings for Laura
that he
doesn't know how to deal with. And he's kind of doing the pull her pigtails thing going on.
Yeah.
But
It's a classic move.
Right. And this episode, he has a break with Mr. Wednesday, who technically he works for, and decides to head to New Orleans to go see the Baron, who I assume is Baron Samedi, probably, right?
Yeah, sure.
you what?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a famous voodoo character. He deals with the dead, brings back the dead. If you read Shadow Man from Valiant Comics, he's bad guy in Shadow Man from Valiant Comics, but it's based on not a real figure, but a real figure from local mythology.
And there's
cool.
There's a split. Wednesday's like, come with me. We're going to go do this thing that'll give you life and get your life back. And Matt Sweeney's like, I know a guy who'll give you your life back.
Right,
and she chooses Wednesday, who is the person that killed her.
Yeah. Also, all she does is complain about that guy. And then she's like, oh, I'll go with you.
Do you think she senses the feelings for Matt Sweeney and maybe shares them a little bit? And she's like, I have to stick by Shadow.
Maybe. I think she's just being obstinate this episode. I think she's stuck with Matt Sweeney when Mr. Wednesday wanted her to do something. And now she's just kind of flipping it around. You know, she's
changing
going
it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like Matt Sweeney wants to be with her. now.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want to be with him. And I think you could probably draw a line to how she feels about Shadow Moon, how Shadow Moon feels about her, and that's what's going on there.
Hashtag also, Mad Moon.
Just before I forget, because I think this plays throughout the episode, even though this was not my favorite episode of the season, I think there was a very strong theme throughout of fire and rebirth that they start off with the car at the beginning. Things are constantly being set on fire throughout the episode. They're talking about resurrection and what it means. So just from that writing perspective, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, let's follow out Laura and Wednesday for a little bit. So they're tracking down Argus, who is the god of surveillance, the old god that became a new god, which I thought was interesting.
Panopticon thing going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, great. Yeah. Is that a train song? I'm assuming that's a, or
there
an album.
She is in the Panopticon. No, Panopticon. It's a many-eyed beast from mythology. Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Still got it.
Double check myself on that.
No, that's, let's just say you got it.
Yeah. they are going to track down Argus. One of the big questions that I had this episode is, what is Mr. Wednesday's plan right now? Like, what exactly is he doing? Is he just doing...
It seems like he's picking fights, just going around, like, taking stabs at people.
Well, he's definitely got a larger overarching plan that he is like meticulously following.
That's very wrong. A panopticon is a circular prison. Never mind.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
I meant something different.
Great. Okay, that's a circular prison. Imagine. How'd you get out?
You dig.
You dig?
Yeah.
No, it's a circle.
Yeah, you run in the opposite direction and it breaks.
Dig out.
Dig out from the circle? Yeah. No, it's a pretty, it's a circle. It's like a...
Hey, guys, hit me up at A's Albert on Twitter and let me know what word I was thinking of.
I will be amazed if someone has an answer for you. Yeah. What was I saying? We're all ancient, man. We're all ancient people. Our brains are broken.
Fire hydrant, I was thinking. He's like a fire hydrant this episode.
Laura and Wednesday. So, his plan. I think... I think his goal this episode is to sow discord between Laura and Shadow. He goes way out of his way to say, you're not the woman that was in love with Shadow Moon. You shouldn't be with him. And I think that's whatever he needs Shadow for. Laura is the one thing that can stop it from happening.
I think so, too. I mean, I keep going back and forth whether he is manipulating Laura or not, because he led to her death, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he counted on her coming back to life.
For sure not.
It was definitely to get Shadow into place. He's trying to push Shadow to something, but she is that rogue element there. So they head through Argus, which, of course, you know from the hit show Arrow, Pete.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same Argus, basically.
Yeah.
It's nice and that Arrow got a nod.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, that's where it started, and now it follows through American Gods, even though American Gods predates it by several decades, and the word Argus by millennium.
Yeah.
They go to Argus, and they go through different levels of Argus. First, we get a field. Very funny line.
Classic.
You enjoyed this for Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Laura's like, where are we? And he says...
It's a field.
It's a fucking field.
It's so great.
Good line.
Fucking field.
How did you not know it's a fucking field?
Yes. So they get there, and what we find out is on each level, in order to proceed, they need to sacrifice something. First, it's a cow. Then it's the Great Library of Alexandria.
Oh, that was sad. Very sad to see that go down.
You are way too into inanimate objects. Like, you do not care about the adamant objects at all in the show.
Dude, also known as humans.
Yeah, how can you like any of these characters? They're constantly jumping around and changing sides. I was all Shadow Moon, but like this episode, he was being weird. So, yeah, okay. I'm sticking up for sweet Cadillacs, and you shouldn't burn libraries. You just shouldn't do
it. I'm not going to disagree.
You shouldn't do it,
Pete,
all right?
This podcast.
You were like, burned, yeah. And I was like, no, this is awful to watch.
This podcast has always been pro-library arson, and for you to go against that now is shocking, and I just don't think it's a...
Beating you with your kid's llama.
That's not a metaphor.
Yeah. No. Definitely not. Pete, you're saying inanimate objects can't be bad. What if a bad guy drove this sweet Cadillac?
Oh, yeah.
What if Laura was like, it's my Cadillac now?
Or Megatron.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Huh.
Think about
is
that.
He driving it as a gun? Because if he is, I mean, that's fine.
I said Megatron, and he went to Megatron driving a car.
Yeah.
No. That's not what I was talking about. Oh. A Megatron turns into a gun.
Right.
Right.
And I just thought it'd be funny if we,
if a gun was driving
drive a car.
Yeah, it was I mean, that would be funny. I'm not going to disagree with you, but that's not necessarily the point that I was getting at.
Oh. Just a bad guy driving the car?
No. Let's just move on.
Okay.
Great. Definitely a lot of footnotes we're going to have to do in the episode to really translate what the fuck everyone's talking about. And I do think another theme here is Wednesday's burning down old shit. He's an old god. He's fighting the new gods. Yet he spends a lot of his time destroying what has come before. I think that's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Why would he be doing that?
He's like saying, hey, remember what side you're on. So apparently he thinks they've chosen the wrong side. And
right. I mean, this is my question with what Mr. Wednesday is doing right now. Like, he has to have some overall goal. We don't know what that goal is. I felt like we had a better sense of it even in the first season because it was all heading towards this confrontation. Now we're in the confrontation, but it seems like small battles back and forth. It seems like the new gods do something, the old gods, by which I mean just Mr. Wednesday, does something back and forth, back and forth. But we don't have a sense of where this season is heading, like what the ultimate goal is yet. Granted, we're only three episodes in, but at the same time, I feel like we need that clarity. We need that understanding of what the end result is, other than just constant skirmishes.
Yeah.
Well, I think his overall goal is that he wants to get a Cadillac for everybody. Like, everybody gets one.
A Cadillac in every pot.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. The first Argus that they destroy is the cow.
That was gross.
The first sacrifice is the cow.
It's a cow that turns into a woman.
Right.
Now, that's from a myth, I believe, where, or in Greek mythology anyway, where Zeus hides a woman he's having an affair with as a cow. So I thought that was interesting as like God hiding mistress as animal.
Right. Do you think it's teeing something up? Or?
I do think so. Yes.
Okay. There was, to take a step back, Mr. Jaquel tells a story that normally would be told by Mr. Nancy, but he was completely absent this episode.
Which sucked.
It was too bad. But Mr. Jaquel tells it with a, oh my God, words.
Zoetrope.
Thank you very much. With the zoetrope. I like the sequence, but I did not love it. And part of the reason, I know I've been down on the second season in general, because I think it's good, but it doesn't reach the same heights as the first season. I felt like watching that, the way that that sequence was edited, in the first season, they would have zoomed into the zoetrope and then hung on it.
Yeah.
And that would have been the entire story. But the way that it was edited, they kept cutting back to Mr. Jaquel's face telling the story, and it felt more straightforward to me. Yeah. I don't know if you guys felt that way.
Yeah, you've been saying that a lot. The second season is more straightforward. And it's weird because you're saying it like it's a bad thing, which I'm very much enjoying that.
You like straightforward.
I like it, yeah, sometimes, especially because a lot of this is so confusing. We're talking about old gods, new gods. We don't know what's happening or what the plans are. So it's nice to have some straightforward storytelling a little bit.
I guess. I don't know. I don't want that. That's not why I'm tuning into American Gods. If I wanted straightforward storytelling, I'd watch SWAT like everybody else.
Cool. Yeah, they're taking on the old gods right now.
SWAT. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, Law and Order.
Good
mythology.
Thing for Shamar Moore.
He's are you like talking about the LL Cool J vehicle, SWAT?
No, that's the movie.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a series called SWAT.
There's a TV
which
series.
Which is a remake of the old TV series, SWAT. Wow. You're thinking, but in the movie, of course, you know that of the $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Great. Fans. So then Laura, they track down the final Argus, the current Argus, who is was an old god, became a new god. I thought that was interesting. We haven't really seen that.
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't you go kill them? And meanwhile, Technical Boy and New Media are there.
Should we jump back and talk about New Media's introduction?
Let's do it.
So Mr. World and Technical Boy are watching. They're pretty pissed off because the titular Munin, still not sure, takes out one of Argus's drones. Do you think the Raven is dead now? Is that why we get the episode title?
I mean, that seems weird. One of those very powerful ravens would just hit a drone and die. Yeah. But birds run into windows a lot.
Oh my God. It's the worst.
They, you know, sometimes you think they're dead. They lay there for a while, but they're just knocked down. Then they come to. Yeah.
So they're there in this headquarters trying to figure out what's going on, trying to track down Shadow Moon, which we'll get back to his storyline in a moment. When new media, well, media, the program that she's been running, finally comes together, and out pops new media, new actress. Yes, Pete?
It's funny that you said out pops because she looks like a K-pop star.
Right, which is on purpose. She has little emojis popping off her. She throws a little shade at old media by looking like Marilyn Monroe, but emoji-ized very quickly. And then what's the line the Technical Boy says? He says, like, this is supposed to be a fucking upgrade.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That seemed kind of cheap.
We get to see new media. What's your take on her? How do you feel about her so far?
She was super annoying.
Well, it's such a risky thing to introduce, like,
you can't
commenting on something that is like so changing so quickly in culture. It's like anytime anybody is like, look at this cool, I'm making fun of Twitter, it's like the minute you said it, it's over. Like, you can't. And the fact that the timeline of
Show. Panoptes. That's what it was. It is Argus Panoptes is the god. That's why I thought Panopticon.
See, you were pretty close.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's. I think the Panopticon comes from Panoptes, so there you go.
It would make sense.
Yes.
I felt like, until you answered that, I was in a circular prison just not knowing what you meant.
Just dig your way out, man.
You keep saying that, but that doesn't make any sense.
It sure does.
Dig your way. That's your answer for everything.
Yep. Speaking of which, so we get this new character who's already kind of like this trope a little bit, and then immediately tentacle porn. It's like, oh, come on, guys. Seriously?
Well, so
we're going to get the anime character and tentacle
we
porn?
We should say Pete was just watching tentacle porn on his phone while we were watching the episode.
That's
unrelated.
That's why we call him Pente Pete.
Yeah. Hente Pete.
Not all hente is tentacle
Pente.
Porn, all right?
Okay, that sounds like a real hente Pete statement to make that clarification.
Yeah. Hey, guys, by the way, if you have any hente you want to send Pete's way, at Real Pete LePage on Twitter. Just tweet it right out of me. Loves it.
Very new media of you. Mr. World has new media, and Technical Boy go talk to Argus, and new media's like, oh, Argus, he's wired up. I want to get that sweet Ethernet.
Well, she makes a good point where she's like, hey, this is going to be like two men enter, one man leaves. I mean, we are both the same. Like, why are we both here?
Her and Technical Boy? Yeah, I thought that was funny. Sort of a comment on the series a little bit, like very meta. Like,
right,
we're sort of the same god. I don't know. it was funny. And so New Media is trying to hook straight up to Argus to basically
hook up is right.
Conglomerate.
They were getting it out.
Yeah, so he sticks out his two penises. She grabs one of the penises and then he shoves the other penis up her hoo-ha. So that's going on.
Wow.
Tentacle
I actually think she was the one doing that.
What?
He was doing that.
I thought she
did
was
you see
one.
His face? It was him.
No, but I think he was enjoying it, but I thought she was the one who was trying to get connected to him. So to me it was her. She grabbed it.
No, but that was hit. All right. Well, this is
we'll never know.
All right. Okay, we got what? Another hour to like really diagram this and figure this out.
So then Laura comes in the middle of their copulation.
Can I stay on this for a second
sure.
Actually?
Oh,
I do no, because I agree with Pete here that I felt like I was frankly put off by it. Like, I get the choices that they made, but new media is nowhere, there's nothing against the actress, nowhere near as fun as media was. Like, granted, you can't match up to Gillian Anderson. That's
you
fine.
Can't. You
but
can't
the
do
the idea of having
She's
this
phenomenal.
Iconic Americana, it was awesome. Every time she showed up on screen, the whole thing with the old gods is the new gods, even they felt inaccessible and strange and terrifying and off-putting. And I know I'm harping on the same thing, but it feels like the longer we get into the season, the more straightforward they are, the more understandable they are and less above everything. Having the three of them kind of just hang out in a room and chat about stuff, there was nothing terrifying about it. Like, I feel like they have become less of a threat. And frankly, having somebody who just spits emojis and talks about likes and favorites and everything, also less of a threat.
Well, but I would argue
also
though,
super annoying to have to watch.
I would argue the point of Wednesday, a lot of Wednesday's speeches and whatnot are like the new gods are cheap. They are.
Sure.
And I think that's what seems to be on display here. Like Technical Boy is a brat. new media is like self-obsessed. Like, I think that's a little bit of the point of this whole thing. And Wednesday's like, we have to, we're being supplanted by worse gods, so we need to fight them and stop them from taking over.
That's fair. Just to keep pushing forward with this, though, having her come in and immediately turn her into a sex icon, it was a bummer. Yep. Like, it's not how I want to see a new female character introduced on the show.
I agree with that, but I read the scene that she was the one who was taking advantage of Argus.
Sure.
So I didn't think it was exploitive in that same way. I will say, yes, her coming on being like, ooh, think of all the likes we can get, and then, like, having an orgasm, basically. I was like, oh, yeah, that's your move? But that is what
it is. What it is. We have to live with it. We have to watch and recap every episode of the show.
Exactly. We're in a panopticon trying to find our way out through podcasting.
Dig.
Panopticon casting.
Life's the garden. Dig it.
Stop saying that.
All right. So anyway, this collides with the Laura Mood and Mr. Wednesday plotline, where they have gotten a knife. Wednesday gives her the knife and says, hey, if you stab Argus right in the neck on his tattoo, you will get a charge up on your coin. You'll briefly come back to life. She feels very conflicted about it, but he says, what else are you going to do? Go ahead.
That was tough for me, because she's supposed to, this whole time she's been like, fuck this, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. Like, fuck you, Mr. Wednesday, you're evil, you do shit selfishly. And then he's like, all right, fine, just go stab this person and then you can be better. And I was like, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't fall for that. But she did. And it was a little disappointing that she was so easily been able to manipulate.
Well, but I do think she's in the middle of this thing where she doesn't know what her purpose is, and she doesn't know what her relationship with Shadow is, because it seems...
But if that's your thing, if you're saying Shadow Moon's my life, stop rolling around with Wednesday then.
But
fuck out of there and go follow your light.
He's generating this doubt in her, and it's hitting. You know, she feels guilty for cheating on him. Like, she, I think, is genuinely like, maybe I am making the person I love's life worse hanging around.
I also think there's a desperation from her, because she is literally rotting. There are maggots wriggling around inside of her.
Yeah, I was trying to eat why that was going on. So, right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so all of the...
Eating maggots.
Yes, you were eating a big plate of maggots. By the way, if you have any pictures of maggots, just tweet them at Real Pete LePage. If you can figure out a way to work the head tape together with the maggots, like...
Oh, come on, man.
It's out there. It's out there.
You're evil, man. You are evil. You are just...
Sorry.
Straight evil.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
New media.
It's all going to be for me. I'm going to be tweeting a bunch of gross pictures at you.
You're going to create a couple fake accounts.
But I do think, like, she is rotting. So she is looking for a way to very quickly get back in the game and get after Shadow. And she doesn't know if she can trust Mad Sweetie. Mad Sweetie saying, come to New Orleans. I know this guy who could do a thing.
She knows she can trust Mad Sweetie. That's what's bullshit.
She hasn't seen Mad Sweetie do anything really yet.
Yeah.
Like, he's took her through the horror of the last episode.
He's been the nicest person to her.
I know, but that's the most proactive thing he has done versus Mr. Wednesday that truly seems to have power. So she feels like, of the two, I can go with the guy that's almost immediately going to get me back on track versus the other guy that I don't know if I can trust. I think that's what's going on there, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And she does stab Argus.
Yep.
And it does give her a charge up. It heals the scars right in front of her. It does bring her back to life. Her eyes turn back into being a normal color. So she is briefly back alive again.
I mean, the episode ends and she's still alive.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, but she's trapped in that, wherever she is there in Argus.
Yeah, in some sort of like prison.
Like a circular one.
I'm curious.
And Mr. Wednesday leaves her.
He
heads back to Shadow Moon.
It's really hard to get... Every time I'm like, okay, you think Mr. Wednesday is doing this for Shadow's benefit. He has, he's looking out for him sometimes. Sometimes he's being just cruel as shit. It's very frustrating. The show is frustrating.
Now, Mr. Wednesday, I think you can safely say, is never doing anything for anybody's benefit other than his own.
Yeah.
Never.
No.
Never. But he's got a sweet Cadillac that he rolls around.
He was only bringing that car back to try to sell it on Craigslist.
Dude, you think it's on Craigslist?
It's on Craigslist right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna
head there. Check it out.
Can I borrow a couple $1,000 from you guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be more than that. This car is immortal.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you can have as much money as you want.
Thanks.
No problem.
That's cool.
I'm going to buy a Cadillac and then quit the show.
Yeah, we should say we do have a three person shared bank account. We make all of our choices now.
Do we want to jump back and talk about Shadows plotline? Well, or I guess we could talk.
Let's talk about the Jin.
Yes.
Real quick. Jin and Sam, they're doing a little motorcycle tour. They stop first stop, like any great tour, at the Porn Palace.
Yes. Yeah. So they go to the Porn Palace and they encounter a little Jack the Beanstalk story going on. So that was fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So they go in, they meet a giant.
Yeah.
And then they go back and they meet Jack, and he's growing some hydroponics, if
they
you will.
They love to garden microgreens.
Yeah. And I don't think they explicitly at any point said that either of those were those, but it clearly was that, which I wasn't
clear to me until you said it out loud.
Oh, yeah. No, there was the dude they encounter at first smells them and is like, you smell like fucking a human. And
yeah,
the guy's the blood of an Englishman.
Yeah, but not the blood.
Yeah.
The other stuff.
The other stuff. Yeah, we don't say that word on this.
This is a clean podcast where we talk about head day and stuff.
Definitely head day, yeah.
So there's that, and then they go back and see this other guy, and he hands them a stock, so it's Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah. Which is a weapon.
Yes. So what do you think was going on there? This mission seems to be the Jin picking up something for Mr. Wednesday for him to use down the road. Spear of Destiny, I assume, or something like that?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious where the Beanstalk is going to play in, because it definitely felt like this was a totally unrelated storyline. So I look forward to seeing them come back.
Sure.
I got to say, like, I really like how much the Jin is just a badass. Like, he's fun.
Motorcycle.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Bit. He has great sunglasses. Lines of dialogue. You know, he's really fun and over the top. I just wish he didn't treat his sidecar love like such a sidecar, you know?
Yeah.
No, I think, I don't know, they'll get there. Like, this, to your point, Justin, or at least what I think was your point, there didn't seem to be much relationship.
Yeah,
he
undercut my point.
Yeah, he undercut.
I said my point, so that's the point. What do you mean? You think
he was like, I think it didn't seem
that clear.
A little unfocused.
Yeah. You were just being a little unclear. It was like you were stuck in a panopticon of your own opinions.
I thought I was driving the motorcycle. I'm in the fucking sidecar.
There didn't seem to be much relationship movement was the main thing. I want to see what is going on. Why are the Jin and Psyllium still together other than driving around and encountering interesting characters, you know?
Yeah, because we can all do that.
Exactly.
Another quick sidebar on just Mad Sweeney and his series of fail videos.
Series of unfortunate events.
Exactly. I think it's interesting. He lost his lucky coin, and his luck didn't go to zero. It went to bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not how luck works.
No, it's exactly how luck works.
No, you're lucky, or you're neutral, or you're bad lucky.
No. His luck flipped.
Bad lucky, right?
Yeah, why does it flip? He just lost a coin. He should go back to zero.
Flip a coin?
If you're very lucky and you lose your coin, you are now always bad luck.
That's not how it works.
That's exactly how we literally just explained it.
No, if you lose your coin, maybe it feels like bad luck, but it's just you're down to zero.
If you lose your legs, you don't just move a little bit slower.
Okay. That is very unlucky, but that's not the same thing.
Legs are like coins. Legs are the coins of the body.
That's true.
What does that even mean?
I'm just saying.
You don't put legs into a machine to then play it. That's
don't you?
Also, Your first thought about what coins are used for were like a jukebox?
A video game.
From the 90s.
From the 90s. Yeah, exactly. But
once again, all of our brains are working fine.
By the way, if you guys want the Chuck E. Cheese near Atlantic Place, you can find Pete there. He's stuck at Dig Dug.
Yeah.
Later on today.
We're love
Chuck E. Cheese. Open up a Dave and Buster's and Cadillac dealership.
You know, they don't let you in without a kid.
Cool, man. That's definitely for the best for everybody.
I was really pissed when they turned me away.
I've never seen you look so serious. You're just like, hey, man, do you know this?
I found out the hard way.
That's why you have kids.
Yeah. Do you think it's about not having a kid or because what everybody's been tweeting you nonstop, all that head day and everything?
You want to come into Dave and Buster's? Sir, let me just look at your Twitter. Holy shit. All hentai and Cadillac pics. Mad Sweeney's last thing we see him, he's passed out in the highway. He gets stopped and picked up by a Christian rock band. I thought this was very funny.
That was hilarious. For a second, I thought it was an entire bus full of Jesuses because we've seen that on the show. But I think it was just a Christian rock band.
I miss those Jesuses.
But that was fun.
Great.
That was fun. I enjoy seeing Mad Sweetie get fucked up on his own.
Yeah, it was like at the end of like Dumb and Dumber. He was so bummed out. It was very funny.
Yeah, it was great. Then we should get back to Shadow Moon's storyline. So Shadow ends up pulling himself out of the wreckage of the train. He stumbles down the road, eventually makes it to a rest stop. And I thought I love this. This is my favorite scene in the episode.
What?
Seeing him immediately slip back into being a con, which we have not seen in a very long time.
See, it's funny. I didn't like this scene because I thought he was such a bad, he was so stupid. Like, that's bad conning. He should be a better con man than
he was. It was working to his credit.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, but it was very easy to see through. And he was only trying to.
That's because you're the viewer and you know.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I know.
Also, you'd be fooled by his delicious charms.
It's so out of.
Let's back up the truck for a second here. So he survives a horrible train crash.
Yeah.
Somehow finds clothes that fit him, start walking down the street and just happens to have $10.
That's what I'm saying. He had $10. He was just trying to get a 20. Yeah. I was like, come on, man. This is of the lowest stakes grip.
Well,
and he didn't need, what does he need $10 more for?
On the road. That's why.
Let me just comment on the point I think Alex
was making. Do you know how much beef jerky is?
You think he's going to invest in some beef jerky?
If you're on the road, if you're smart,
you invest in
jerky.
That's the only place it makes sense to ever eat jerky.
Yeah,
it's on the road. If you're at home,
Hey Soul Sister, that's another one.
Oh, good. Wow, I can't believe you used your phone during the podcast.
I had to check. I can't remember anything.
I thought it was a low point for me because he went back to his old ways. You know, I thought he was better than that now after everything he's experienced and been through. So it was sad to see him conning a very nice lady.
Whatever.
He's just such a character
Whatever.
I don't know. We're never going to see that lady again.
Yeah, but now she's got to explain to her boss where the money went and why the register's short.
Really feeling it for the very tiniest character.
Dude,
you can't muster sympathy for Laura Moon, who's a main character going through some shit.
She's awful.
Like, yo, this lady's drawer's going to be off. Her boss is going to be furious.
Yeah. If you have ever been responsible for a drawer, it sucks.
No, of course, but I worked at Burger King.
Really?
When I was in high King? School.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, did you get to eat all the fries you want?
No. Go-to was the BK, chicken, not the fried one, the grilled one.
Mm. What?
Which has a different name now.
That's garbage.
No,
you worked at Burger King and your go-to was the chicken.
Super tempted to stick your hands in the deep fryer?
What? Not even close, dude.
My brother worked at the same Burger King, and he, it really
probably
busy.
Got promoted faster than you because he's a better person.
No, definitely not. I ran the fucking drive-through, bro.
Oh wow,
that was my first podcasting. Really.
Can we get back to?
That's what the drive-through really is—just a one-on-one podcast.
Welcome to Burger King. What do you want to talk about? I'm into comics.
Exactly.
This episode of Burger King is brought to you by Blue Apron. Hasn't been invented yet.
That's funny.
Wait, can we get back to the fact that you are so evil you want people to stick their hand in a deep fryer?
No, I don't want other people to stick their hand in the deep fryer. I'm just saying if I stood there, definitely the thought would cross my mind.
Yeah, it's like touching the hot stove.
You standing in front of the deep fryer.
Yes, yeah, what Justin said. It's like
touching the hot stove and you're like, oh, I know it's dangerous, but there's something drawing me to it.
Really?
Like a moth to a flame.
Wait,
my brother once accidentally dropped something in there, like an onion ring, and without thinking, was just like, I'll grab that. And then was like, oh my God, my fingers. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
But it felt
so wait. Anytime you guys are around something dangerous, you feel something calling you towards it? Is that what you're saying out loud?
Like a voice.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's I always hear a voice when I'm with you guys, start a new podcast. It's happening right now.
I hear voices that say, stop doing this.
Interesting. That's the hot stove for me.
Yeah, getting back to Shadow's storyline he does get interrupted by a new character who picks him up, interrupts his con, gets some gas out of him, and he ends up getting a ride with her. So most of his storyline is riding with her, trying to figure out if she's a god.
She's awesome, by the way.
She's great. If she's a god, if there's something mystical about her, while he goes not to Cairo, but to Caro. Mm. And... I like this. I like this part of the episode quite a bit. I thought she was a good character. I thought they played well off of each other. She's someone, if I remember correctly, is going to play in bigger as it goes on.
See, Black Crow.
Yeah.
You can tell, by the way, they kept showing her tattoo.
And also she kept taking pictures of Shadow, which we don't know what exactly. She takes one on her Polaroid camera, and she's like, hey, that's just evidence in case you do something fucked up.
Because she knows Mayhem's on the road, so she's got to get good insurance.
The character Mayhem.
Yeah. But also, like, that's smart, though. You know, you don't know. You can't trust people.
But
you got to have some evidence. That way, if she dies, she's got a picture.
Later, she takes a picture of him while he's sleeping, which is a little
adorable.
The first thing I thought, since she is established as a Native American, like the idea of taking a picture of someone is taking a little bit of your soul.
So she kept wanting more of a soul.
I'm curious if that is part of it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we are going to see her again, though, which is nice.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Or you just look up.
Yeah. What were you just trying to do?
What were we on? Character?
What were you doing?
I was just looking up train songs. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, my God.
Sneaky.
No, I was trying to remember when she shows up again in the novel, because I was getting. I don't want to ruin it.
No, I know. I did the same thing last week. Last time we recorded, I was like, oh, fuck. What happened in the book again?
Doesn't actually show up at the part that I thought she showed up at. There's a point, which we talked about on the last episode, but there's a point where Shadow finds a different town to live in for a while. I thought momentarily I got her mixed up with another character that he meets there. But she does show up on the road in the narrative again. There you go.
If all of his crows are this cool, I wish they would come to life more often.
No, that was it. Yeah, maybe. No.
So the end of the episode, though, is Shadow Moon finally makes it to Mr. Jaquel's, and he doesn't encounter Mr. Jaquel. He actually encounters Mr. Wednesday, who is outside with a very weird-looking bottle. We had a little bit of discussion.
We were speculating, was that a liquor bottle or a beer bottle?
I thought it was a beer bottle.
I think it was ambrosia. Like, I think that was the idea.
But he also quickly made another pact with Mr. Wednesday.
I don't think it matters at this point. He's already in it, right?
No.
Shadow drinks whatever the liquid was. And is it true that only gods can drink ambrosia?
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah, I think that is true.
Is he a god now?
No, they have a... No, he doesn't drink it, right? When they're back at the alligator bar back in season one, he can't.
Yeah.
Everybody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think you're right about that.
Interesting.
Mm. Do you think then that maybe he's walking him down the path to godhood?
Yeah.
American godhood.
Oh, boy.
Oh, very cool. Ooh.
Somewhere in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we mention that?
No.
That's super weirdness. So as Salim and the djinn are driving away in the cracks in the parking lot, it says somewhere in America, right?
Yeah.
What do you think was up with that?
I don't know. That to me was so weird.
But that's a normal thing in parking lots. It says that a lot.
No, it wasn't even graffiti. It was literally in the cracks in the pavement.
Yeah. It's the pavement.
It felt like it would be the sort of thing when they pulled up as an identifier of the scene, not as they're leaving.
Yeah, it was very odd.
It was very strange.
I thought it was cool.
Great. All right. Huge difference of opinion. That's it for this podcast, I guess.
Another horrible split between us, three hosts.
Oh, man. Before we start wrapping this up, any final impressions or other things we should talk about with the episode?
Well, I just had a thought. If you had to choose, not based on the characters of the show.
Between Megatron and Headtick. Go ahead.
How could I ever choose my two children? But similarly, if you had to choose between siding with the old gods or the new gods, again, not
old gods.
Really? Why?
Because I don't trust the new gods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. You're talking on a microphone into a Zoom recorder right now.
Yeah.
What?
But to be fair, he has a case on his phone that makes it look like a cassette tape.
Yeah.
What about you?
Old gods or new gods? I think watching the show, we're supposed to think the old gods are the good guys, but I do think Mr. Wednesday is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So I also use technology a lot, so I guess the new gods.
Interesting.
You were a sellout, dude.
Yeah, whatever. I love my phone.
Yeah, I'm worried about that sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man.
Mr. Apple Watch over here is worried about your phone.
I can look up train songs, find out what a panopticon is. What about you, Justin? What side do you fall on?
Old gods or new gods?
Don't be a sellout.
Oh, man.
My God.
Oh, yeah. I'm my own god.
Oh.
I guess I would go. I mean, I feel like.
Dude, you're a classically trained actor. Come on, bro. You got to be old gods.
So, of course, I will worship Euripides, my performance of the Oresteia that I did at Hamilton College in 2000. And
was that before or after you worked at Burger King?
I mean, it was similar experience. It was after. Burger King was high school.
Oh, okay.
My first job.
Sweet.
New Gods.
What? Nice. You sell out.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
Sorry. No, now all the three
fuck
of us are
both
new gods.
You guys.
That was what this was for, right? It was a majority vote.
Exactly. Where now you worship the new gods.
Nope.
Speaking of which god deserved your worship this episode the most? Pete, we'll start with you. Which god?
I'm going to have to go with the Sweeners.
The what?
Mad Sweeney's.
Oh. The Sweeney's.
Mad Sweeney. Any particular reason?
Well, I feel like he's going through a tough time, and I feel like he's the only one who has, like, pure purity of heart. Like, this guy isn't trying to fuck people over. He just wants his coin so he can go and live his life. He doesn't seem, like, evil or have some fucked up plan. He's just trying to do good.
Justin, what about you?
I got to go with the Christian rock band that Matt Sweeney encountered.
Yeah.
They seem like fun guys, and they rock from, you know, a decidedly not rock and roll background to really get in and be.
They don't necessarily rock around the clock, but at least until 7 p.m., and then they get a good night's sleep.
Exactly. And what's better than a good night's sleep?
Oh, man.
The hardest thing to be successful at would be being a Christian rock band, I think, perhaps in the world. And the fact that they have a tour bus means they're got to be pretty good at one of those things.
They're doing real well. I got to say, Mr. Wednesday, I just thought this was a really good episode for Ian McShane. He had a lot of fun lines throughout.
Yeah.
He could be super intense, but he's also at his best when he's kind of just hanging in the background and gets to have a little bit of fun.
You like when he stabbed the cow, didn't you? That was your favorite
part. I love watching cows get stabbed.
Oh, yeah, that's a future steak.
It's pretty sweet. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we will worship you.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so we get to know about our amazing guest.
Follow us on Twitter Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbooklive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you at the House of Worship.
Oh, boy.
That's good
at Epcot.
Stuff.